Well, on the Sunday mornings when I'm preaching, we've been looking at a series on the fruit of the Spirit, focusing on Galatians chapter 5. That verse is, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, as I say every time, remember, this list of the fruit isn't suddenly just a new set of rules that we need to follow, and you've just got to try harder at love and joy, and you've got to try harder at peace and patience and so on. Instead, this is a list of fruit that will gradually but inevitably grow when you love Jesus. If a tree is alive, there will be fruit. If you are alive and free in Jesus, you will change. You should, you can, you will eventually over time become more like the Jesus you love. So it's basically a series on what real Christians should look like. Today, we're going to focus on the fifth part of the fruit of the Spirit, kindness. And I'm going to invite up one of our elders, Gregor Sutherland, who's going to read from the Bible for us two readings, one from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10, and Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 25. Gregor.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom, of the air, the spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from ourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And then if we can, we'll turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 25. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, Obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it, not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism.
Well, as we go on this morning, we're going to come back to the passages that we read on this theme of kindness. Well, in February 2020, you may remember that the Love Island TV presenter, Caroline Flack, took her own life. And in the aftermath, a message that she had shared on Instagram just a couple of months before this went viral. She had written, "In a world where you can be anything, be kind." And people shared that hashtag, be kind, to urge online trolls to consider the impact of their words. Media outlets were begged to rethink the way that they cover and sometimes condemn public figures and celebrities. Did it work? Did that hashtag going viral, be kind, did it work? No. Studies have shown that over the pandemic era of our lives, online abuse has become more and more prevalent. It has become too easy to attack someone on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, especially anonymously. So am I going to stand up here and tell you all today, be kind? Well, no. And yes. No, because simply telling you to be kind is not enough. It's not enough. And yes, because to be kind should be a byproduct of knowing the kindness of Jesus in your own life. First of all, this morning, I want to focus on the kindest person in history. What is kindness? Well, it can be quite hard to define sometimes. Is it the same as being nice? Well, not really. Maybe when you were in primary school and you were learning how to write stories, sometimes teachers would tell you never to use the word nice, because nice can be used everywhere and anywhere far too often. And it can mean anything. When used normally, well, if someone is nice, it usually means that you kind of like them in some way. They're likable enough. I don't know if you ever used to say this, unless you call them nice in that sort of condescending way. I have to admit, in my lack of kindness, and many times in my life, I've said, oh, that person's, you know, they're nice. And I think you know what I mean when I say it in that voice. But with kindness, there's more energy. You can be a nice person, and relatively self-enclosed, but you can't be a kind person and be self-enclosed. Because kindness is not so much about how you are in yourself. Kindness is how you reach out to others, how you touch other people's lives, what effect your life, your words, your deeds have on other people. So what is kindness? Well, there's a bunch of clues in the Bible about what kindness is. The first is hidden away in one of the most famous verses in the Bible. We didn't read it together, but I'll read it for you now. Maybe you've never connected this verse with the idea of kindness, but it's here in the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now that word easy, for my yoke is easy, is actually the same word as kind in the original Greek language. There used to be this story that over the top of Joseph, the carpenter, over his carpentry shop, there would be the sign that advertised his services, and it said, "Our yokes fit well." Now that's the idea Jesus is saying here, that my yoke is kind, my yoke is easy. The yoke, how we are tethered and attached, connected to Jesus, walking in step with Jesus, it fits so well that you don't find yourself in discomfort. When he yokes you to himself, as if he puts his arm around you and says, "You belong with me, and I belong with you, and we will go together, and I will always be with you." His arm on your shoulder fits so perfectly. It's the difference between going into a shop and buying a suit off the rack and having the chance to get a tailored suit. And people will notice and they'll say to you, "Oh, that suit fits so well." That's part of the idea of kindness. It's the idea when someone is kind to you that there is this quality of grace and appropriateness, as if when they are saying kind words or doing a kind thing, it's as if it's molded to your particular moment and life and set of circumstances and personality. So it's not just doing something good. The kindness comes from how it fits with you and fits with the other person in their moment, in their personality. If you watch any detective programs like CSI or Luther or Castle, there's a murder, and you hear the same words again and again. The officers will go along and they're all trained to say the same thing: "I am sorry for your loss." But those words are not in themselves kindness. It's actually just a learned phraseology. And it's received as little more than just learned phraseology. But kindness fills words and acts with a special kind of appropriateness. That's why we love and value kind people so much. They're not going through life with so much focus on themselves that the only way that they can deal with other people is by means of set formulas and set words that they use. But they go out of themselves to meet you where you're at, to meet other individuals and to say or do the thing that fits well on your particular needs at any particular time. So it's the difference between someone coming up to you and saying a phrase, saying something like, "Oh, I'll pray for you." And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, "Will you? Or are you just saying that? They sound like kind words, but are you just saying that?" and between someone who does pray for you and who prays for you with a specificness about your situation. That's a kindness to you, and you take it as that. Now, we see this fitting kindness in Jesus' life a lot. He was the kindest person in history. Read the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and you will meet someone who sees people, who cares for people, who meets their particular needs. Jesus was kindness on two legs. Look, for example, at how many times Jesus was interrupted by someone. And he reacts unlike us. He doesn't react with irritation and dismissal, but with kindness and warmth, especially to those who society typically rejected and shunned. It's easier to be kind to someone you know and love. Jesus was kind to the shunned, the outcast, the unloved, the sinner. He is interrupted by people again and again and again, people he's never met, people he didn't know, and he reacts with kindness. Think of the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. Think of the parents bringing their children and the disciples who are wanting to reject the kids and push them away. He's too busy, he's too busy. And Jesus took them in. Think of the blind Bartimaeus who was shouting over the crowd. The crowd was shushing him. Think of Zacchaeus up a tree because, I'm just picturing again the YF kids doing that for the younger ones here. Think of Zacchaeus up the tree and the people trying to block Jesus from seeing him. And Jesus stops and looks right at him up the tree. And he goes into his home and has dinner with him. Think of the woman who anointed his feet at a meal. Think of when he was in agony on the cross. In kindness, he made sure his mother would be taken care of. With each of these particular people, he saw them. He saw them. He listened to them. He met them with a kindness that fit their need. He sees you. He will listen to you. He will meet you with a kindness that fits you. I don't know you, and I will let you down. I don't know you fully. I know some of you. Some of you wish I knew better. But there'll be times where I will say or do things that don't quite fit well enough. And you will be disappointed. We'll disappoint each other. But Jesus, his kindness will fit you. Kindness is an essential quality of love. In 1 Corinthians 13, that famous chapter on love, Paul said, love is patient, love is kind. Kindness is that aspect of love that puts yourself in their shoes and thinks about what they need, and it does it. I really admire people who see a situation and they don't just ask, is there anything you want me to do? I usually say that when I don't know what to do. I imagine a lot of us really struggle with that. But what kindness begins to produce in us is the desire and the ability to think about the other person in their situation and to say the right thing that fits them there and then. Or to know to say nothing because of what they're going through or what they're like. Sometimes that's the thing that fits best. Or to do the right thing. Or to do nothing. That will fit well with their situation and their circumstances and their personality. Kind words are words that fit someone's needs. It's not about you and you assessing, oh, I'm doing a kind thing here. It's to the other person to decide whether it fits and fitted with them. It's whether it fits their need. That's kindness. Kind deeds are the deeds that fit someone's need. And so look to the kindest person in history. And you will meet someone who sees you and listens to you and will say and act in a way that fits with you right now, where you're at, and forever. Jesus is kindness on two legs. Why? Most of all, because he did the kindest act in history. He's the kindest person, but he did the kindest act in history too. If you were asked, what's the kindest thing anyone has ever done in the history of the world? I wonder how you would answer. Here's the Bible's answer. The death of Jesus on the cross is the kindest thing that has ever happened. God was so kind, seeing our situation, seeing how that needed to be met, that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we read earlier from Ephesians and chapter 2, this beautiful summary of our biggest need. I was dead in my sin. We are dead in our sins, living just for ourselves and our desires, ignoring God. I was a sinner. But we read, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Out of God's great love, in his rich mercy, through undeserved and unearned grace, God saves sinners. If you accept this free gift, accepting that Jesus is the Savior you need, because without him, you're dead. Without him, you're lost. Then we are made alive with Jesus. We will be shown the incomparable riches all through what Jesus has done for us. It's all by grace. And as we say again and again, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches. You get God's riches at Christ's expense. And the writer Paul uses one word to sum it all up. Kindness. To meet your greatest need, to forgive you all of your sins, to take away all your guilt and shame and judgment, to bring you into that eternal, life-filling relationship that you have been missing and yearning for, even as you've chased everything else, to set us free, to walk with Jesus, to fit with him. This is kindness. And that is the great difference between any normal kindness and Christ-like Christian kindness. At the end of the day, Christian kindness always sees that there is a much deeper need that also needs to be met. For all the love and the kindness we should show the world as we meet its needs wherever we can, bring them Jesus. As Marvin told the boys and girls, tell the world of Jesus and his kindness to die for us, to meet our deepest needs. And it's only in being shown this kindness and receiving first this great kindness that you can be alive in Jesus. And like how only an alive tree can begin to bear fruit, only when you're alive in Jesus, walking with Jesus, enjoying the kindness, the love of Jesus, can the spiritual fruit of kindness begin to grow in your life. So meet the kindest person in history. Have your need met by the kindest act in history. But now I'll tell you, be kind. Be kind. What does it look like then for us to be kind? We can all be naturally kind, especially to those who we feel some affinity with already, so family and friends and likable neighbors. And because we're all made in God's image, every person in the world is capable of wonderful moments of kindness sometimes. But the type of kindness we're talking about is not normal kindness. It's kindness that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's spiritual kindness, godly, Christ-like kindness, in that it comes from only comes from having the Spirit of God in your life when you love and trust Jesus. God shows kindness not just to friends, but to enemies and sinners, to the ungrateful, to the wicked, to me and you, even when we don't or when we didn't care about him. Have you ever tried to be kind to someone who was ungrateful? Well, unless God's grace was working in your heart in a significant way, your reaction may well have been, well, I'll never do anything with that person again. But God doesn't turn his back on the ungrateful. He didn't turn his back to you. For all the ways that you have let him down, even if you're a Christian, and you are cold to God right now, you have not been walking with Jesus right now, he hasn't turned his back to you. Jesus says in Luke 6, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. That's the kind of disposition and attitude that we need to develop and cultivate. The fruit, the godly fruit of kindness in our character, willing to be kind even when they spit at you in return. And to help with being kind, we read from Colossians chapter 3, where Paul says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. To do something in the name of the Lord is to do it as if Jesus was here with you. Whatever I do, Paul says, I am to act as if Jesus is acting in and through me. Do it all under the name of Jesus. Do it all like Jesus would. It's that classic question that for some reason has gone out of fashion. What would Jesus do? If I were Christ, if I'm doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus, how will I act? Whatever I do, how will I act? What would I say? What would I do for that other person? And later in Colossians, in chapter 3, we read it again. Paul says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. That means that I should act as if the other person was Jesus. Whatever I do, whatever I'm working at, I do it as if I'm working for the Lord, as if the other person is Jesus. How would I honor and serve Jesus? That's how I should honor and serve this other person. So if you love Jesus, live every day with these two questions. What would I do for people if I were Jesus? What would I do for people and say to people if they were Jesus? Wouldn't that make such a difference to how we treat others? Wouldn't that make us so much kinder? And this convicts me, because I fall so short of the kindness of Jesus. But his great kindness towards me and you stirs me, fuels me, empowers me, encourages me, strengthens me to be kind. Kindness is one of God's strongest weapons in breaking through into other people's lives who are normally hostile to him. A kind answer, a kind deed deflates wrath. Kind words that fit so well with that person right in front of you that even in their anger, it's diffused. Because you've seen them. You've listened to their anger. And you've met their need. But remember, kindness isn't just being nice. Sometimes what fits the best with the person in front of you isn't always what they ask for. It is the indifferent parent who kindly permits a child to play video games and drink fizzy juice all day long. It is a loving and a kind parent who does the hard work of instilling in a child a good balanced diet and a kind work ethic. It is the indifferent person who, like I said, says, without thinking, I'll pray for you, but never prays. And never does anything either. Kindness reaches deeper to mold our words and our deeds to fit with the person right in front of us. It's also why we shouldn't define love and we shouldn't define kindness as affirmation. If I said to you, to show me love and kindness, you have to affirm everything I think and say or do. No. Kindness grounded in real love steps into your shoes and sees that what you need isn't just some sentimentalized tolerance or approval. But sometimes kindness, done kindly, will call us out for our flaws and our selfishness and our dishonesty. True kindness isn't, what I'm advocating here from God is not just some sort of sentimentalized nonsense. True kindness will humbly and lovingly fight for you to fit better with the person God wants you to become. In the second century, there was a theologian called Tertullian. He's the man who gave us words like Trinity. As far as we know, he was the first person to summarize what we learn about God in the Bible with that word, Trinity. But he wrote down what non-Christians were saying in their day and calling Christians. He said that non-Christiani call us Christiani. It's the difference of an I and an E. Christiani and a Christiani. But Christiani doesn't mean Christian. It means kindly people. The non-Christians of their day would look at Christians and say they are the kind people. They weren't just known as Christ people. Christiani. They were known as kind people. Christiani. You want to be kind? It's doing the Jesus thing. Jesus didn't claim special privileges. He took on the form of a servant, denying himself to help you and me and meet our needs. May we show the kindness of Jesus in such a way that people think, who does that kindness remind me of? And may it be that they are drawn to a living love and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the kindest person who did the kindest act in history. And through him, we can be kind too. Amen.